Boyardis are supposed to know how to get rid of bodies. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lucien Lebanon.
Oh, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, July 20th, 2025. Summertime is on its way out, even though it's blazing hot out there. Today's episode is also rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast ain't for you. All right. First, I want to start out and say shout out to all you listeners. And to do that, I'm going to ask you to applaud yourselves. I'm just saying, if you're a member of my target audience, applauding yourself might be the kindest thing you've done for yourself in a while. And if this is your first time listening, welcome. Yay! Here's hoping I say something on this episode that resonates and ends up or allows us to make history together. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website, and ShutUpPodcast411 at gmail.com is the email address. Today's episode is titled, the working title is 284, My Life and My Podcast, or My Life and This Podcast. And I, I'm still figuring out what feature thought was going to be about, but what I can tell you. It was inspired, weirdly inspired, by that incident everyone is talking about that I didn't think I'd be talking about. The astronomer CEO getting caught cheating with one of his staff, head of HR. Anyways, weirdly enough, it inspired today's feature thought, and I'll elaborate when we get to that. But before we do that, let's start with some quotes and some randomness. You know what? I feel like I landed that intro. It wasn't perfect, but I landed that intro. Yeah, I tend to get inside my head a lot, and when I'm recording and when I make a snafu little mistakes, I then have to like calm myself. Calm down while I'm talking to you. Like, I'm beating myself up while I'm recording. Yeah, this is all behind-the-scenes shit that you are not privy to. Right. Okay, let's do some quotes. Let's start with some quotes. The first one that comes to mind goes, you are not responsible for meeting everyone's expectation. Let them be disappointed. The author's unknown. It's just, got it from Reddit. Next quote, simple and short and sweet by Marilyn Monroe, and it goes, being normal is boring. Amen, sister. And the last quote I'm taking a quote from my, I don't know if I told you guys, I mean, you returning listeners that I've been watching, I finished watching Batman series. Unfortunately, Netflix is going to... Whatever, that's not the point. But I finished the series, but I came back to the first episode and there was one line that stuck to me the most. I'm going to share it with you, and it goes... let me give you the full strength. It's the quote by Rachel Mankang, and it starts out with this. She goes, I don't think I realized it until this moment, but it must be hard being a man too. And then Don Draper responds with, excuse me? And she responds back, she claps back with, Mr. Draper, I don't know what it is you really believe in, but I But I know what it's, excuse me, it's tough to read. I know what it feels like to be out of place, to be disconnected, to see the world laid out in front of you the way other people live in it. It's making more sense now. And there's something about you that tells me you know what it is. You know it too.
Message.
Yeah, that's it for quotes. And yeah, those last two quotes will factor into the future thought. But let's do some randomness now.
So you're a philosopher?
Hey, gang. I forgot to add this on the my line of things I wanted to talk about. But I want to applaud myself. On this podcast, we believe in celebrating small victories, big and small victories. Sure, celebrating small victories can be annoying or can be not as satisfying, but stick to it. I read the book Atomic Habits, man. So slow progress is better than no progress, right? With that said, today's progress is managing to go a full day without spending money. And what I mean without spending money, it's Sunday. I had every reason to be lazy, to eat takeout, to buy some frivolous shit off Amazon, and I stopped myself. Yay! Calm down, ladies. It's a big deal for me. I've been starting to track my expenses because I'm trying to be an adult and shit. And I'm trying to develop this habit of, brace yourself, of spending within my means. I know for some of you people whose lives was all perfect, who would all figure it out, good for you. But it's a challenge. And so part of doing that involves starting to track my expenses. And I'm actually impressed with myself. Because I remember thinking, B, you got some leftovers in the fridge. But I want McDonald's. I want some McDonald's. No, I don't eat McDonald's. But, you know, fresh cooked food. But whatever. So, yes, pat on the back to me.
So, you're a philosopher?
Okay, les gars, les filles, puis les gars, puis tout le monde aime you. Oh, wow, yes. So, I got to issue a redaction to, something I said on the last episode. Excuse me. First of all, let me see if the content creator is the... Okay. I gave some shit to a content creator. I kind of gave some shit to a... But, I mean, my heart was in the right place. To a content creator who put a OnlyFans content creator on blast for selling videos to her husband. And she made it all like, yo, this woman ruined my life and yada, yada, yada. And I did joke about how, like, I shared the story and it was all like, and I made it more about married women who blame sex workers for their failed marriage. That was my angle. I was like, come on, man. Come. I was like, y'all chicks need to chill out. Your husband, y'all letting your husband off the hook. Okay, right? Now. In this particular case, I still had that mind, that same mindset. So I'm not changing that. I'm not redacting that. What I am redacting is I Googled the content, the OnlyFans page, because I am the OnlyFans content creator. And first of all, let me give you a step-by-step. First, okay, I'm going to, remember, be black. We're now more enlightened. I'm not going to comment on a woman's body. But. Fuck it, fat ass butt. But I remember Googling this thing and Googling this, the content creator, the OnlyFans lady. I'm like, Jesus Christ. And my first thought was, your husband, that's how I know your husband ain't black. If he is black, they voted for Trump. I am not going to. My first thought was no two thoughts my first thought was not impressed not being impressed and two being like she kind of looks young the young age but But what the main thought was, lady, man, you dodged the bullet, man. Your husband is pretty much, he pretty much showed up to your house and said, I ain't shit. Then I looked up the second line in the Google search and then realized I know who this, the content creator is, and her name is Natalie Reynolds. And she is not a good person. I've heard of her. She does like shitty videos, or she did shitty videos. I don't care if she changed, but I remember one of the videos she did is she convinced some poor girl to, what did she do? To jump in a lake? Was it, did she talk some girl to committing suicide or something? Like, she's like, for clip. Oh, wait. You know what? Now I'm going to have to look it up. I think it's the one who, Natalie Reynolds. Some of you probably know the name. But I was wondering why this married lady was putting her first and last. I thought she was like doxing her. She was, when she put her on blast, I thought she was like, I'm going to fuck you. I'm going to fuck up your career. You're not going to work here. But wow. If it's, hold on. Everything about, oh, I forgot to read this article. Everything about Natalie Reynolds. Excuse me. Who is Natalie Reynolds? Natalie Reynolds is a 26-year-old social media influencer based in Los Angeles. She first gained traction on a TikTok in 2022 with lip sync and dance videos. That's not the problem. Over time, her content evolved into prank skits, relationship-based comedy, and risque banter with her boyfriend, Zach. Real name, Zachary Hulsman. I think that's Hulsman. Goddamn English. The duo's playful video made them regular on the For You page. However, her content soon turned into controversial pranks, challenges, and cringe videos. Some fans even trolled her for making such videos on all social media. Is this the video where... Is she the one? Yeah, that's the one. Horror moment. TikToker leaves woman. Oh, shit. She drowned. Wow. She... Influencer cries, screams after homeless woman pranks backfire. TikTok video headquarters explain. Wow, she drowned. Oh, so yeah, I'm sorry. I can't prepare. Streamer Natalie Reynolds dares a vulnerable woman who can't swim to jump into the lake and then runs away laughing while the woman yells for help. Damn. So I don't even need to. Ah, she's like ugly all over the place. Damn. Look, okay. Again, I stick by my argument of married women. If your husband violated, broke your monogamous agreement by checking out OnlyFans content, whatever. Don't blame the OnlyFans content creator. Blame your husband. Blame your... you made a poor choice. Accept that you made a poor choice in a mate. Now, I still stick by that. With that, I'm adding to this is like homegirl going back to that married woman who was complaining about Natalie Reynolds. Lady, if your husband cheated on you on... with Natalie Reynolds? Oh my God. Look, raise the standards. Walk away. Oh man. I mean, sure, it hurts. Says the guy. I look at relationships from like a spectator sport. And so yes, it's easy for me to comment from the sideline. I understand. But if I was her friend, I'd be like, home girl, you okay, all right, if I was her friend, I'd be like, yo. All he did was let you know that he ain't shit. Here's hoping they didn't have any kids together. Here's hoping they did not have any kids together. Here's hoping that it's a swift divorce. Here's hoping she gets everything. I hope she's the married woman is compensated. All I'm saying is leave sex work out of it. But yes, you are justified. You are justified focusing your hatred on this person. Oh my, this terrible human being. Jesus Christ. All right, links are in the show notes. You can read about Natalie Reynolds yourself. I don't like promoting negativity or negative, because essentially her claim to fame is being a terrible person. And I don't like being one of those people who, Whatever. Who am I kidding? I don't like doing it, but this is, I guess I'm making an exception right now. Wow. I'm gonna make it personal. I'm gonna make it about myself. Rick Ross has a rap song going, I got your, the chorus goes, I got your bitch tiptoeing on my marble floors. And I remember hearing that song and I felt like putting on my dating profile, must not be meaning, look, lady, I don't ever want to be in a situation where I get a phone call from Rick Ross talking about, I got your bitch tiptoeing on my marble floors. That would destroy me. I'm kidding. excuse me. It's one of those, I never had her. If meaning if I lose my partner to another man or a woman, in my mind, I never had her. I never had this person. Meaning you that's what relationships are. Like, you know, I took a chance and I fucked up. I picked the wrong one. And yeah, no, I get what I'm trying to say is I'm reinforcing the idea that I don't want to preach to you, lady, about how you dodged the bullet. But I'm going to try to, because I'm not in her shoes. You know, when the feelings show up, it shit is complicated. It's easy for me to say, like, nah, man, you could do better. There's more, plenty of fishes in the sea. Just don't fish in that same sea. Pick another sector of the sea. Like, stay away from that zone at all. But I guess I'm just thinking of, you know what? I'm thinking of people who get cheated on. People get cheated on, whatever. You know, or people who are unfaithful, who are with partners who are unfaithful. And it's my way of saying, yeah, walk away. No, I mean, if you can salvage it, if you want to forgive them, that's up to you. But I'm saying, I realize I'm trying to say don't take it personal, but there's no way to not take it personally. But I am reinforcing the idea. You know, I'm going to stop because I'm talking about shit I don't know about. I don't feel right talking about. But I do feel justified saying, Jesus Christ. Natalie Reynolds. I mean, it's people like that that make me wish hell was real.
So you're a philosopher?
Next one is Superman. I went to go see Superman yesterday, and it's an issue. I had no intention to go see it, but when all these white people were on the internet, these white dudes were on the internet talking about it's woke. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess if the success of this movie will make your life worse than it already is, then fuck it, I'm going to contribute to your misery. So I went to go see it. When I first left, I was like, it was all right. The person I went to go see it with, they enjoyed it. They fully enjoyed it. But for me, I was like, it was all right. But the more I think about it, I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to spoil the movie, but come on. It's a Superman movie, and it's made for kids. I'm just going to say that I feel it was a well-done movie of Superman for 2025. That's the thing. You can't go in there expecting to see what you're used on seeing in shit like that. I'm thinking of the old Superman with Richard Pryor there. That was high tech back then. I was like, wow. I couldn't sleep after that. I slept. I mean, damn, I'm old. But I feel like they really adapted this movie for this time. Just like Batman. Like the heroes look more realistic. Say it like more realistic. It's with superpower. Anyway, so yes, it was a well done storytelling of Superman. Well explained, well shared story of storytelling. 2025 for 2025, and but Jesus Christ, man, it's like Man, excuse me. Yeah, they kick the shit out of him, man. The most of the movie, it's like, you know what? No, I'm gonna go back to what I was saying. It was a well-made movie, well-made Superman movie for 2025. Now, for all you motherfuckers bitching about how it was woke, I didn't see it. Superman was white, and the bad guy was white. I believe those are the main characters, right? The main characters were white. I don't know why you guys are bitching about. And Lois Lane, there is, sure, even Lex Luthor, his staff was diverse. That black people was really diverse. I don't know, maybe is that what pissed them off? What, you know what? Why the fuck do I care what pissed them off? Shit. A bouquet of roses would piss these people off. So, all right. But yeah, man, it was great. I enjoyed it. It was all right. I went from it's all right to, yeah, it was good. Hold on. What did it get from IMDb? Real quick. Superman, le film. IMDb. Not that it's that much of a reliable source. Okay, 7.6 out of 10. Yeah, and the second thing, and it's something that Superman and Ironheart have in common, I had to remind myself that, dude, I am not the target audience for this movie. I mean, it's more for children. It's more for this generation of kids are going to watch it the same way I watched those corny-ass Superman. Except there's Superman cusses. Oh, sorry, I was just thinking about the Superman that I don't know, one of the Supermans that I saw, and Superman went bad. And excuse me. So there's a scene where, this is how young I was, there's a scene where a bad Superman gets seduced or I don't know, gets whatever. He's invited to some chick's house. He goes over. I'm laughing at my innocence. So the camera goes away and you hear the girl giggle and everything like that. And I think I believe. I'm like, oh, they must be playing. I had no idea what was going on. And later, as an adult, I saw it. I'm like, oh, wow. He gave her that super dick. Super kryptonite dick. That krypton dick. Grow up, Eli.
So you're a philosopher?
You know what's funny? So Black Guy Who Tips, episode 3127. The medical debt is back. There's, this is me recommending to listening to it. I just finished watching it. But that episode also inspired today's feature thought. I'll explain it. But there's a little part that I feel like talking about is Rod had the timing was interesting. So Rod has this idea on how Spotify should improve their blocking system. You know what? I guess I won't share it, so I'll let you check it out for yourself. But essentially, it's some specific kind of blocks. It's like, yo, put the select star. You know what? I just realized not all of you know how to program in SQL or write SQL commands. I mean. but the reason why I only bring this up, because I was thinking about how on Friday I was, it's kind of funny. On Friday I was, I Googled weed strain to listen to music to, perfect weed strain to listen to music to, music, movies, watch movies, and get creative with. And it gave me a few selection, Blue Dreams, which is cool, which is, you know, good. Thank you, Google. Then I went to my local dispensary. There's a lot of this, three dispensary near my place. And I wanted to be like, fuck. And none of them had the brand that was recommended by the Google machine. And I was thinking, goddamn dispensary, you know, it'd be cool if I could have done that same fucking search on your website. Why don't y'all think of that? Imagine if, like, if I go to the store, most of the time I'll find someone, some knowledgeable person who'll be like, yakety, yakety, yakety. Oh, yes, this strain was grown in the mountains of the Caucasus, whatever, Caucasus, and it's purple and blah, 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 blah. But I want, I want to be able to go in there and say, hey, I got a date tonight, and I'm trying to give her some Superman Krypton dick. What do you got for me? You know, I want to be able to, like, recommend, like, those kind of shit. I want to be able, I wish I could have been able to say either A, this is what I want, or your shit, like, shows me, this stream is ideal for people who want to, blah, 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 whatever. Things like that. But for podcasters, shit like that. Add that feature to your fucking website. I bet dispensaries in Vancouver or in the States, y'all got that shit. But Ottawa, we're always behind. Yes, I talk shit about my own city. Why? Because I can't. Because I'm motherfucker, I can't. The part that made me laugh at the beginning is because I meant to comment on, I mentioned that it's July 20th and it's a Sunday. And those who listened to my last episode, I talked about how I wanted to get into the habit of recording on Saturday so I could, my Sundays could be free. Like, you can't tell, but I'm a little stressed out at the fact that I let myself down. And the worst part about it, gang, the worst part about it, you know why I didn't record on Saturday? Because I was at a crossroad. I was in a situation where I was like, getting high or record an episode. I picked getting high. What is it? The afros. None of got high. Shame on me. Shame on me. Nah, you know what? Nah, fuck it. Fuck it. Whatever. It's my time. So I own up to it. I'm an adult. It's the decision I made. I stuck to it. I'm going to pretend like it was the right decision. But yeah, that's why I'm recording on a Sunday.
So you're a philosopher?
All right. So for this one here, it's I need a better word for, I'm going to call it white. I don't know if it's black fatigue or white fatigue. But all I know is I started thinking about that on an episode of 3GO podcast. Randolph, who's one of the hosts, three guys on, and he was talking about how he's tired of white people's fuckery, and what led to that thought was, what's that guy from Fox? You know what? I'm not going to put it in the show notes, but that dude on Fox News, I'm not even going to play it, but there's a clip on Fox News, and one of, like, they know their audience, right? And they said, like, yes, we're going to do, like, the blacks. Fuck that shit. That's it. We're going to do, like, the blacks. You know how they reclaim the N-word? We're going to reclaim the word Nazis. And then the whole skit was all about how, what's up, my Nazis? Like, they're going to embrace the word Nazis the same way black people embrace the word nigger. And yeah, so from there, it was like, I'm tired of white people's fuckery. And I was like, and my first thought was, bro, I've been tired, man. I live in Canada, Ottawa, the Great White North, the capital of the Great White North. And I'm 50 years old, man. I'm done past reading the brochures. I'm done being gaslit. I know what I'm done being told. What I see is not what I see. So I'm not racist. Hold on. Whatever. I see it shit for how I see it. Like I call it like I see it now. And being forced by white people to like constantly protect their feelings for shit that other white people or their ancestor did is like fucking making me tired. Being forced to like, oh, we're not all racist. Yeah, but those who ain't aren't fucking useful. Like, that's, I have like that fatigue right now. I've been feeling that fatigue. It was so fucked up. It was part of the reason I ended up in therapy. But what really triggered or reminded me of being tired of white people's fuckery is this clip by this Canadian content creator. And I feel like calling him like the Green Book of Canada. And let me just play the clip and it'll make more sense. Then I'll also get to tell you what his name is.
Why were all these Canadian places named the word? Damn, man. I need to look at the history, man.
A stretch of the Gatineau River in Quebec was named Rapids, supposedly after a black couple who drowned there in the early 1900s, and after decades of it being an informal name, was officially recognized by the province in 1983. A spokesman from the Quebec Toponymy Commission said in 2015 that it was always meant to describe the couple, and that it didn't have the pejorative connotation that it has now. Locals even said it wasn't a source of controversy, a name just like Toronto or Ottawa. And in British Columbia, there were three creeks, a lake, and a mountain with the name, the latter coming from a 1908 Christmas story about three black men who passed away in a blizzard. Now in 2025, National Resource Canada, who are responsible for the map of Canada, have prohibited all use of the name on their maps, and authorities across the country will have to update any lingering names. Why is it only happening now? That's for them to answer. But for it to take this long to realize that that shouldn't be the name of a creek or a mountain, please.
Nigga, please. So he did this whole clip without using the N-word. Okay, real quick. Oh, nice. Lieutenant the Monk. Oh, LT the Monk. I think that's what the LT is. Yes. Hello. Are you from Toronto? All right. Why were the Canadians named? Yeah, so Street View quiz. Quebec. Yes, I remember. Fuck. I remember being at work. And fuck, god damn it. Yeah, how much shit could a nigga take? All right, so I remember being at work, and I white dude was showing me where his cottage is, and as we're scrolling along, what did he call it? He said Nigger Creek, or what was it called? Nigger, doesn't matter, man. All I know is, I don't know if it said nigger, negro, whatever the fuck, but the N-word was in there. And the white dude being funny is like, oh, I guess we're skipping that one. No. And, you know, because I'm at work. I'm like, ha, ha, ha. No, I'm not offended. No, I don't feel like pulling out a machete and chopping your head off. Okay, whatever. But it's shit like, because I live in Canada. And Canada does to the U.S. what U.S. does to to Germany. It's like, holy fuck, all that dirt they have in the rugs. Like, yeah, those Americans, they're racist. Not us. We got it all figured out. But Canada is worse because they would have better off teaching me this shit from school so I could have had time to digest it. Now it's like, oh, y'all ain't shit. So yeah, Canada, it like boasts about how, hey, we're the better white people. And then shit comes out from the past and you just learn things like bits and pieces. And then, and you know, it's white fatigue causes me to have black fatigue. I said black fatigue. You know what? Black fatigue. No, I'm going to call it black fatigue. This is what I'm tired of.
And a lot of white folk have demonstrated eloquently that they don't have no sense.
I'm not mad at white people. I'm mad at white people who don't have sense. Why? Why? Because they seem to be in control of things. They seem to have influence. You know, when they become as powerless as some street preacher, then I'll be like, okay, all right, racism's not gone, but it's at a level that I can work with. But some of these motherfuckers are colleagues. Some motherfuckers like approve bank loans or pull you over, you know, and vote. How much can a nigga take? Oh, sorry, I'm trying to quote Tupac. How much shit could a nigga take? All right.
So, you're a philosopher?
Woo! Bon wow. I'm taking my time with this. All right. Okay. Last but not least, this is so appropriate. I'm going to play the clip. And it's shout out to my Haitians, to my Zoes out there. And this is going to be an opportunity for some of you that's going to have, it's going to be an opportunity to,
you must learn.
That's what it's all about. Now, the meaning behind nat boule. All right, I guess I just realized that not everyone listening to this is Haitian, so let me just say, when in Creole, when we salute each other, call and response, one person will say, sak passe, and that means, how you doing? What's up? What up? You know, sak passe or sak a fait. And the response is, most of the time, will be nat boule. Now, up until this point, I never knew what it meant until I heard this explanation.
So the whole sac passé is basically like, what are you up to? And the person passing by said, not boule, but we never finished the rest of that statement. That not boule is not boule kai. And that comes from the revolution where it was like, Coupe that boule kai. Mm. So it's actually a revolutionary slogan, right? And that was our combat to the France. They're like, okay, the only way to get rid of them is to treat them the way they was treating us. So during revolution times, we decided, hey, the same way you was beheading us, we're going to behead you. The same way you was burning down our homes, we're going to burn down these plantations so that you don't come back and have these as resources. So that's very inspiring because we say it, and a lot of people don't know what they're saying, but I feel like every time we say it, it's like we're channeling the ancestors in a sense, right? Mm. Even though a lot of people, just it sounds good, but there's a history behind that statement. Sakpase not boule.
Nous tentons ça? Right. All right. So I was always confused about not boule. Like, what are we boiling? Is that what we're saying? Boiling? Not boule. Like, I mean, I never felt in a position to question Creole. I'm like, yo, that's what everyone's saying. That's what the fuck I'm saying. And not boule. I thought the whole time, because I knew what boule meant. You know, are we boiling shit or are we like burning shit? What? I don't get it. But that makes so much sense. Imagine during the revolution, the Haitian Revolution. Okay, if you're not aware of 1804 Haiti, that's all your homework for tonight. Jesus Christ. You must learn. Yeah, do some research on the Haitian Revolution, right? Anyways, but it makes so much sense that during and after the revolution, you'd say, yo, what's up, pops? What's up, fellas? What's up, ladies? Not boule. We burning shit down. Burn it down. Burn it down. The roof. Okay. The country's on fire. We don't need no. Okay. So I. But no, that's amazing, man. Holy shit. What's wild is how my Christian Haitian parents would say not boule, and I think they just never gave it some thoughts. And the only reason I bring up my parents in this because they were like crazy Christians who valued their religion over anything in their lives. And but it would shock me. I mean, it kind of surprised me that they would say like, whoa, Jesus doesn't want me to burn down. White Jesus don't want me to condone the burn down of. I don't know if you guys heard the explanation, but yes, not boule. One of the famous words during the revolution by one of our great leaders, Jean-Jacques Dessalines. He's known for boulekai coupetet. Boulekai, one or the other. But it translates to burn houses, cut heads. Jesus Christ. The revolution in there, right? Feel it in my nuts. All right. So yeah, not boule. Maybe I should make this episode titled not boule. Burn it down. We burning shit down.
So you're a philosopher?
Oh, wow. Oh, okay, that's it, gang. All right, so time for feature thought. But before we get to feature thought, I'm going to take a quick break. All right, okay. Right, feature thought. I won't lie to you. This one was a bit of a doozy. It's... How do I explain this? Well, first I'm going to start out by reaffirming, reminding you, it's my goddamn podcast. I do what I does, and it makes sense to me. And so, all I know is I had three thoughts, correct, right? And I attempted to make a link between the three. That's where I'm stuck in making the link between the three. And I'm going to cheat. And what I did is, like, maybe I should have given time to on this topic. But instead, what I did is I fed it to the AI machine, AI, to find a link between the thoughts. But so before we get to the response I got from AI, because it did an accurate job articulating what I think I'm trying to say, what I believe I'm trying to say, let me just explain how I got to it. So first one is cheating and cheaters. Yeah, I did a whole brain dump on it. All right, it goes, the first one goes, why am I thinking of cheaters? All right, so the incident, I'm not going to go into it, but, well, I mean, just quick details. the CEO of some company called Astronomer. That headline was so fucking confusing because I thought, CEO Astronomer? Whatever. All right. So there's a company out there called Astronomer. I have no fucking idea what it does. Their CEO was at a Coldplay concert. Focus me. Was at a Coldplay concert. And, you know, the kiss cam went around. No game, right? And the kiss cam went focused on him and the woman who he was with, which wasn't his wife. To make it even more interesting, she was the head of HR. But anyway, I'm sure you've heard about it. If not, well, you know, Google it. There's a link in the show notes. You can check it out for yourself. But I remember hearing about that story and not really giving it attention. I'm like, oh, big deal. Couple, you know, cheaters getting caught on the kiss cam. Well, I think what makes it entertaining is how they reacted to them being on the kiss cam. Like, they could have played it off and been like, yeah, we a couple. Great, my wife is going to kill me. But whatever. That's what makes it funny. And I was going to talk about it. But I remember scrolling on social media going like, yo, not my podcast. We're too mature for that kind of stuff. We're not going to talk about that. I'm sure everyone else is talking about it. I remember overthinking about like, maybe if I want people to listen to my podcast, maybe I should talk about some recent shit. I remember having all those thoughts, debating with myself on, nah, fuck that. I'm not, man. If they want bullshit news, they could go somewhere else. Then I got on TikTok, this content creator, links are in the show notes, did a piece on how she was able to make a link between that incident and capitalism. And more of the idea is like my take of her explanation essentially is how CEOs are presented to be like the best of the best, great people and all that. And this is their reminder that they ain't shit. Like, they've convinced us that this is why I deserve a bigger paycheck, because my brains, if it wasn't for me, you'd be unemployed. Whatever. But you know what? She does a better job explaining her own point. But then it had me thinking about how, because I rewatched the video and I was like, I was so caught up in why the fuck would you, it's like you wanted to get caught. Why the fuck would you? I mean, you go to a concert. Look, okay. I just couldn't understand. This is pretty much a thought. I remember being so obsessed on the idea of, if you're cheating on your partner, isn't the idea not to get caught? So, whatever, man. These two went on a date together, holding hands, assuming no one's going to see them, and whatever. But I was just so caught up on the idea on, aren't you trying not to get caught? And these guys were like, fuck the rules, whatever, man. Thug life, whatever, man. But I was so obsessed by that idea, but I remember stepping back and reminding myself that, my question isn't out of a moral superiority. I'm not asking that. I'm saying it as a person who's, who realizes that, look, I don't know what it's like to be cheated on. If I was cheated on, I was not made aware of it. I don't know what it's like to cheat on someone. And part of it has to do with the fact that I've never been in a relationship long enough to get to a point where, oh, wow, now I get it. Like, I understand relationship. I only like relationship from a theoretical point of view. I learned that in therapy. But the ideas, like I could talk about, this shit entertains you, just talking about other people's relationships. Have you tried talking? Have you tried communicating? But me, myself, nah, it's wow. I like to watch it from a distance. But it did have me thinking about, damn, B, does that mean my life is boring? So that's where that idea got caught, right? And I remember thinking about it, being like, maybe this should be a topic for the podcast. Problem is, I also wanted to, initially, before that, while listening to that episode that I mentioned of the Black Guy Who Tips, I was focused on how Black Guy Who Tip, Rod starts his episode, and not just him, but a lot of my favorite episodes, start their episode, and you know how I'm like, fuck Whitey in my episodes? Oh, by the way, my fuck Whitey, sorry, you know how I'm like, how I start my episode with Anishinaabe Algonquin territory, all that shit, right? And shout out to you listeners, and well, their portion of the beginning is, hey, we're all over the internet. Make sure to give us a 5-star review. If you like our shit, give us a 5-star review. And it had me thinking about, B, how come you don't say shit like that? How come you don't feel comfortable saying shit like that? And on one end, I'm like, do you not believe that you have a 5-star rated podcast? And you know what? It took me a while for me to answer that. And it's only later that I was like able to say, nah, I believe I have a 5-star rated podcast. I just don't feel like, again, this is a conversation for therapy, but I just don't feel like starting the show with, hey, give me a 5-star rating. Like, I don't want people who listen to this podcast because, got a 5-star rating, even though I don't know if people use that as a bahem of as a measure, what I was gonna say is I don't want the 5-star rating to be your reason for this podcast to be popular. I want it to actually mean shit. I actually want to say shit that resonates. That's who I want to see that. Yes, that's who I want to know. Okay, yes, this is a 5-star. This podcast is worthy of 5-star. That's who I want to say that. That's who I want rating the podcast, not the whole entire public. And so all this to say, long ass story to say that I wanted to talk about how I have a 5-star rated podcast, but I'm not sure I behave like I do. And I wanted to talk about how about my boring life. That's what I put. my boring, quote unquote, normal life. And I was marinating on that shit. Like, you know, I may need to come back to it. And I remember, and I plugged the link into, I forgot one last point. I plugged those two ideas into ChatGPT and that quote that I read by, from Mad Men. Well, specifically the part of where I said, I know what it feels like to be out of place. At first, when she said out of place, I know what it feels like to be out of place, to stand out, to be disconnected, to see the world laid out in front of you the way other people live it. And yeah, So in that quote, you got loneliness, you got feeling aside, you got, I feel like an outcast. I go through this world constantly feeling like an outcast. And I put all these ideas together, and this was the result I got from ChatGPT. I got to give ChatGPT, because I'm like, there's no fucking way people believe that I wrote this shit. And it goes, let me read this real quick. Okay, I got to be careful, because it's in two parts. It goes, feature thought, feeling out of place. Maybe that should be the title to this. No, you know what? That's going to be the title of feature thought. That cheating story involving the CEO of Astronomer. See, by the way, this is what ChatGPT said. That, and it's reading it as if I'm reading it right now. All right? Brace yourself. Bear with me. That cheating story involving the CEO of Astronomer didn't make me mad or judgmental. It just made me pause. I've never cheated, but I've also never been in a long enough relationship to even get to the part where people start making those kinds of decisions. It's not that I want that kind of drama in my life, but I do sometimes wonder what it says about me that I've never even had the opportunity to mess up like that. There's this whole world people seem to live in, long relationships, messy breakups, cheating scandals, second chances, and I don't feel like I've ever been part of it. I've never felt like I've been part of it. I'm watching it like a show. I'm outside the room looking through the window. And that feeling isn't just about relationships. I believe I have a 5-star podcast. I believe what I'm making is good. But I don't always act like someone who knows that. I question myself. I hesitate. I stay small, even when there's no real reason to. You know what? ChatGPT wouldn't know that because I did bring up how should I promote this podcast? I did have conversations. Do we want to call it conversation? But whatever. That was kind of insightful on its part. Still reading. And maybe that's connected to the other thing. The feeling of being outside the world other people seem to live in. Their drama, their chaos, their confidence. I'm not sure I even want their version of life, but I keep noticing that I'm not part of it. So then I wonder, if I feel out of place in a world others seem to inhabit, how can I fully show up in mine? I don't have the answers yet, but I think that's where I am. Let it marinate, kids. Let it marinate. Let that shit marinate. But yeah, I'm still making sense of the thought, but I do know that I do stick to the feeling of being an outsider in this world, even in my own life, or my whole life seems to be dedicated to watching other people live theirs, or I'm thinking about, am I complaining or am I? What I do know is another reason that what inspired this thought is I'm part of the subreddit Introvert Memes, and there's this one meme, this joke about how all right, spend all my time in the living room and I had to go to my bedroom and staying indoors. Now, I'm not complaining about living an introvert life or living in solitude. If I am going to complain about it, is being surrounded by people who complained about it. On one end, I had like parents who didn't understand. Growing up in a household where introversion didn't make sense. Everyone was extroverts, and if you're an introvert, to them, being an introvert is you're just being a loner. It didn't make sense. It wasn't healthy for you to be by yourself. And then I also had, then I would surround myself with friends, quote unquote friends, who also reinforced the idea of that, well, what are you, a loner? Like, they were extroverts. To their credit, they're the reasons why I would go see movies or hang out or go do big things. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have done it. But there was a lot of times where I would have preferred, but if it wasn't for them, I would have stayed home. So I'm not mad at them for taking me out, for getting me to do things I would have never done on my own. I am just, I can't necessarily blame them for that, but it was just more made to feel like something was wrong with me for not wanting to hang out. Well, I guess this is where if I would have had like a healthy self-esteem, I would have been like, I would have known to, like, you know, count me out this time. I'm reciting some New Edition. Except the song Count Me Out is the guy saying, telling his homies that, hey, I ain't gonna hang out with you, I'm gonna spend time with my girlfriend. But I'm saying count me out because I'm just gonna stay home and watch a movie and get a high off some recommended stream from Vancouver. Call back. But yeah, no, that's it, man. That's again, no solutions, just thoughts. I'm just sharing thoughts. And that's the other thing I like about my podcast. What probably the favorite things that I like about this show, give myself credit, or what I do, is the shit that I talk about. I don't necessarily like hearing my voice, but I do say things that I would like to have a conversation, to spark a conversation about with people who understand, as opposed to people who just shut it down or be like, well, that's stupid. I don't know. What the fuck are you asking me for? It's like, dude, rhetorical, man. Just being rhetorical. Anyways, I'm gonna end it here. You know what? Last point is I'm gonna send a shout out to because I've been mentioning podcasts, right? I nearly discovered this podcast called Gnarly Girls, and another one. And well, you've heard me mention Black Fat Fam before. Those two podcasts, listen to those two, felt validating of my own podcast, because a lot of what they do on their own platform is share their truth, and it's a truth that I can't work with. They don't always say things that I agree with. I mean, or understand, but the way they go about it, to me, feels healthy. Maybe things I don't agree with. No, that's not what I meant to say. But I'm going to stick with things that I don't understand. But they do talk about, it's like, it's introspective. It's like human beings, we're just existing. This is the shit that's on my mind. It's like, I compare it to, I'm going to take a deep dive in my own soul, come back to the surface and share with you. This is what I found. Share these jewels with the rest of you. Like, it's deep conversation. That's what I'm trying to say. It's two people having deep conversation with each other. And the subject matter too is also is what I enjoy. But hearing them talk, it's like, reminds me of, I kind of do the same thing on my podcast. So all this to say, first of all, a reminder that it's my goddamn podcast. So I can talk about the shit that I need to talk to. And this concludes today's episode. Need to wrap this up. As always, hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as I enjoyed recording it. And or as much as I enjoyed not spending money today. Hey, I'm an adult. And shutuppodcast.com is the website. And shutuppodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
are you an outcast?
Are you an outcast? This episode was rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, that's a motherfucking crew. Backup, just a little quick backup. When I say fuck Whitey, I think every one of my episodes, all 284 episodes, I started with fuck Whitey. That's me expressing my black fatigue, or white people's fuckery. That's really what I'm saying. like Martin Luther King said.
And a lot of white folk have demonstrated eloquently that they don't have no sense.
Yes, I'm tired, because I feel like I'm drowning in a sea of white folks who don't have any sense. So fuck Whitey. Thank you for listening, and remember, please, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace. Yeah.